You're listening to the Advancing Your Photography podcast. I'm your host, Mark Silber. I connect you with remarkable photographers who've mastered their craft, sharing their insight and skills so you can put them right to use. This is going to be one of the most important broadcasts I've ever done. In fact, I'm going to consider it the most important because of the topic. So if you've missed everything else I've ever said, please pay attention. Get your notebook out, take notes, see how this applies to you, because I guarantee this will help you be a better photographer. So without further ado, let's just jump right in here. I am Mark Silber. I'm a photographer, author, educator in Carmel, California. I love to help people be more creative. And I'd like to introduce you to our partner, Bay Photo. If you don't know who they are, they make great prints. And you can get some cool specials here. They've got 30% off on cards, press printed products. These are really high quality. We use them all the time. And you can get them in a variety of different applications here, and cards and different things that you can use. Tabletop prints. And as always, you'll get 20% off on your first order. So after the show, not right now, but after the show, head over to Bay Photo Lab and put an order in. Let's dive in. Here's the subject: how to find and follow your passion as a photographer. There's no way we can cover this in one show. And the reason it's a series is I need to have a conversation with you. I want to hear back from you guys. I'm going to cover a story that happened to me, but I want to hear your stories also. Let's start off with this word passion. Oxford defines it as a strong and barely controllable emotion. You know, when you've got to just do something, you've got to go out and photograph, you've got to write that story, you've just got this idea and nothing can hold you back. That's what we're really looking for that. It's also defined as an intense desire or enthusiasm for something. So when you put that together, you've got this strong emotion that you just have to fulfill what's in your mind, what you visualize. You've got to go out and do something about it. Now, oddly enough, sometimes that comes from a state that's really negative. You know, you have to kind of like jump out of that. And I'm going to tell you my story of how that actually came to be. So I'm going to tell you a story that came out of, it's written in this book, Create. This was when I was a teenager. But before we tell that story, what is your passion? Where is it? There's some clues that different artists have left us. Pablo Picasso said the purpose of art is washing the dust off of daily life off our souls, washing the dust of daily life off our souls. Every day we get dust on our souls, maybe more than just dust. You know, in these times with the war going on, it's a total tragedy. It's a lot more than just dust. But Picasso said, that's the purpose of art, is to cleanse yourself of all that, let's just call it what it is, crap that we run into in life. And art is the way through that. That's kind of the core of this whole passion. Now, I'm going to tell you this story I wrote in the book called My Great Escape. I was in high school. I had an interesting series of high schools that I went to, not because I was bad and got kicked out. I went to a very straight-laced high school. Then I went to a hippie high school. And then I went to a school in Vermont that was fantastic. And my junior year, I actually probably learned more than all other years combined. Fantastic school. I dove into it with passion. I learned all sorts of things. I started running cross country. I started cross country skiing. I joined the debate club. I had gone from a hippie school to a very standardized kind of prep school, and it was fantastic. But I came back to California for my senior year, went back to this big 2,000 student school the hippie school had, you know, under 50 or 100, I don't know, maybe 80 kids. The Vermont school had a couple hundred. And then I went back to California. Big school, big cinder block school. It reminded me of a prison. And I became very introverted. I even hit this point of being kind of numb and suffering it out. I was just in despair. Like, one of the problems with this school is they were rehashing everything I'd already learned from the much better school in my junior year. They were just kind of serving it up again in my senior year. And I was like literally going out of my mind. What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this thing? And at one point I decided I am going to drop out of high school. Now, this horrified my parents, horrified them. Here they are, very well educated, and their son is going to be a high school dropout. So they said, no, you can't do that. Of course they said that. So my mind was going racing. And how I did this in the pre-internet day, I have no idea. But I, lo and behold, I discovered that I had almost enough credits to graduate after my first semester of my last year of high school. But I needed a social studies class, and I cooked up this idea that I could go to Mexico. Yes, folks, you heard that right. I could go to Mexico for my last semester and work on a social project in the remote region of the Sierra Madre Mountains, which are above Mazatlan, and I pulled it off. I went to the principal. And you can see here where I wrote about it, my great escape. And I said, in one of the best sales jobs of my life, I made an appointment to speak with the principal of my dreaded school, the guy that ran this prison. And I pitched him on the idea that I wanted to go to Mexico. How many kids are going to walk into the principal and tell him that? Okay, I got to hand it to myself. That was pretty gutsy. You know, he sat there. I gave him my pitch. He sat there. And my stomach is just turning like, what's going to happen next? You know, I got to get out of here. I was like Jack Kerouac. I want to hit the road. Bruce Springsteen. You know, Baby, We're Born to Run. Those were the things that were racing through my mind. And here was the biggest obstacle, was the principal. What was he going to do? Slap me back, send me to detention for coming up with such a harebrained idea. He sat back in his chair, took his glasses off. And you know those moments where time is ticking and every second feels like an hour? Well, he's cleaning his glasses. Then he looks back at me. There's this big pause. What's he going to say? He says, Mark, I think that could work. Holy shiest! Inside, I'm doing that. But outside, of course, if you've ever done any big sales jobs and, you know, inside, you just want to scream. You're so excited. But inside, I was like, well, thank you, sir. I think this is a really, you know, I'm very conservative about the whole thing. And I ran out of there and I was free. I was free. I couldn't believe it. But the most amazing part of this is I took this camera. My uncle had just recently given me this Rolleiflex. And he had used it. I don't know why he gave it to me, but he stopped using it. He sent it to me. And I had already started taking a lot of photographs with it, but I took it with me to Mexico with dozens of rolls of film, black and white film. So I was so prepared. I had no idea how great this camera would be. But I documented that trip. That was the passion. You know, I was like out of this closed, claustrophobic high school thing, and all of a sudden I'm down in Mexico working on a medical dispensary. And in between, I mean, we're working our butts off. But in between, I pulled out my camera and I kept photographing. And it was pretty remarkable. This was one of the photographs I came away with. By the way, what you see here, we built everything. We made this adobe. We cut the trees down and sawed them and made wood, planks of wood. we made everything. We made the tile, the adobe, tile for the roofs, everything you see. And this was one of the locals who was working on the project with us. It was only five or six of us total. But one of the locals, his name was Fausto. And here he is posing for me. Now, this is a 17-year-old that took this photograph. Not bad, right? Not bad. This is a good example of framing. And you can see it's square because that's what the Rolleiflex produces. Okay, what did I learn from this? First of all, these were, you know, some of the other photographs. I actually took this with a Nikon F. The guy, teacher who was running the project had a Nikon F and he loaned it to me for a day. And I went around the village, shot the only color film. It was ektachrome, only one roll of film. In the middle of this project, I hiked on the Rio Verde, 80 miles, and took photographs all along the way. Here's a kid on horseback, again, with my Rolleiflex. This is a school. These are the bonfires. Now, what this is we were, when you make the tile for the roof, you have to fire it, which means you have to heat it up so that it, you know, if you just use clay, it's going to fall apart. So you heat it up so it becomes hardened. And the way you do that is you put all the adobe inside these bonfires, and at night you light the fire, and that fires them. That's amazing. So I just captured this whole story. Hundreds and hundreds of photographs, all negatives. And some of them I've scanned and many I haven't. But here are some of the lessons I learned. And this really ties into this whole point about passion. My protests and urge to flee the misery of high school prison didn't get me out. In fact, I was more trapped and cut off than ever. Light began to dawn only when I stopped trying to escape and began to research and really look at my options. Tapping into the purpose to help others is what finally opened all the doors. Even the principal couldn't say no. Who's going to say no to a kid who wants to go to Mexico and help people with their medical problems, right? How amazing was that? It was the purpose, though, you guys, that opened that door. It went from deep despair, numbness, introversion, to all of a sudden I was free. I was out there. I was doing something that most kids would never dream of doing. The other thing is I learned that I had to work much, much harder for this taste of freedom. In high school, I was loafing along 90% asleep. In Mexico, we were building, we were working from dawn to dusk, cutting trees, making adobe, lifting, carrying, sawing, learning to speak the language that I should have learned in high school, but I didn't. But this work, this hard work, made me strong mentally, physically, and spiritually. I'm not kidding. I'm here to tell you about it. It really set the course of my life. And I was rewarded immensely by capturing some of the best photographic work and finding a new level of creativity. And I'll show you more examples here. And finally, I learned that problems were solvable not by running away from them. Here's a 17-year-old kid, guys. Okay, not the philosopher figuring this out. Not by running away, but by looking at a real solution. Only then was I ever able to realize that after I decided to work on a higher purpose to help the people in this remote region in Mexico. A lot of stuff there, a lot of know-how came out of that. So these are some of my photographs. There's that one of Fausto. I'm impressed. You know, I look at my own work. I think if I saw this from a 17-year-old, I'd be pretty impressed that they kind of knew what they were doing here. This was the, what you might call a village, which was actually one hut. And these girls are waiting in the doorway. You know, I knew how to capture the light. It's not bad. This was the school One of the things that I'm impressed with about my own work here is how I managed to get these photographs without the subjects becoming stiff, which they often will do when you pull out a camera. You know, I managed to get them to relax. I didn't have great communication skills. I don't know how I did that. These are some kids on that 80-mile hike that I took as a side hike. And, you know, I find that to be a really interesting photograph. The contrast, you know, their white shirts against the dark and the trail they're on, a leading line. I find that pretty interesting. One of the kids, we had a lot of goats there. In fact, we ate the goats. I don't recommend goat meat, by the way, but we did eat them. And when you don't have much protein, it was a welcome thing. But here he is leaning against the hut. And again, most people, when you pull out a camera, will get very stiff. Somehow I got him to relax. This was one of the frames out of that one or two rolls of ektachrome that I took in the village of Ahoya, a blue door of a church. And that is a really authentic blue there. You can actually see the edge of the frame up here. I scanned this years later. Now, how can you find your own passion? Because that's what this show is about. I just want to tell you my story, how I went from deep despair to, whoa, I'm really capturing something that's important to me. Here you go, guys. Here you go. Ready? And I really listen closely here. Don't toss this off. This is important stuff. I've given this a lot of thought, and it's a work in progress. That's why I say this is not a one broadcast type of thing. This is, we're going to be going on this for a while here. So take your notebook out. If you know me, you know you got to have a notebook and you use them all the time. I've got dozens of notebooks. I've kind of settled on this size. I like this a lot. And man, do I write. I write stuff every day in my notebook. You guys should have your notebooks. If you don't have one, get one. We even actually have, and I should put these up for sale, an AYP notebook. How about that? I use these all the time. There we go, AYP notebook. Anyway, work this out, okay? This is your homework. Look at others' work and what really inspires you. So one of the things that had inspired me is a book that I had of Henri Cartier-Bresson that my dad had given me. You know, I'd been looking through that a lot prior to going off on this trip. So, you know, I kind of already had this idea of what kind of street photography, you know, resonated for me. So you can look, you've heard us say this before, but really look and take notes of what is it that inspires you? Look for your strong and barely controllable emotion. Like, what can you just, you can't contain yourself. What's interesting about that word strong is Edward Weston defined composition as the strongest way of seeing. How can you portray whatever it is you see in front of you in the strongest way possible? And how can you tap into that emotion? You want to find it, you guys, and you may not just find it like that. You may have to do some trial and error, which is totally fine. You know, but what is it that you can't wait to tell the story about? I don't care if it's like Chuck doing his story about heroin addicts. It could be about, you know, a homeless story, another story I believe he's working on. It could be about dogs in your neighborhood. I don't know what it is. It's your passion, not mine. But you got to find it. You got to tap into it. And then you visualize it. You visualize that story. Visualize it. Like, what's this going to look like? What are some of the frames I want to come back with? How am I going to utilize these images? I had no idea that years later I was going to write a book, but man, I'm so happy I had those images to draw upon. And then you want to feel it, live it, get as immersed into it as you can. Like I was in Mexico, I was deeply immersed. My whole life wasn't about California. By the way, there were no radios, no TV, no electricity, no nothing. It was like civilization 100 and more years ago in California. That was a pretty cool experience. The only piece of technology we had, everything was done by hand tools. The only piece of technology were my camera and the few tools that we had. This, by the way, this was the only camera I took and the only lens. Simplicity. Don't get brainwashed into the idea that you need all this complicated gear. You don't. Okay. We'll be talking more about that. Then you go out and capture it. You just capture it and you stay on it and you stay on it and you wake up and you find the time. I don't care if this is you have to squeeze out little bits of time here and there. That's fine. It's not always going to be like I was, where I was thrown into this thing headfirst. You know, this isn't the only passion project I've ever done, but this one was my first that really left a big impression. And then look at your images and compare them to the previous steps. So go back to, you know, step one here. Go back, look at your images, go back to your step one. How does it compare with what inspired you? Are you really getting those strong emotions into these images? Is it what you visualize? Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's way off. Okay, but you're going to learn from that. No wrong answers, folks. When you're following your passion, there are no wrong answers. Everything will help you on your road. Even if you screw up, you come back with a bunch of really nothing images. They're throwaway. You've learned something from that. Go out and do it again. And post your images on AYP Club and Instagram. Tell us your story. Tag me. Because I want to see them. I want to hear what you guys are doing with this. This is not just sit back and, whoa, that's really cool, Mark. Thanks for that cool story. It's like watching TV. I want you to live this, okay? Because I consider this probably the most important thing that you and I could ever do together. Thanks for joining us today on Advancing Your Photography. If there's anything you wanted to see from today's episode, you can find the video version of this show on our YouTube channel, Advancing Your Photography. You can also find the show notes on our website, silverstudios.com/podcast. Please rate and leave a review, subscribe, and be sure to share with your friends. And until next time, remember to get out and capture your own images of life.